Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Bleeding Green Nation, and welcome back to another edition of Eye on the Enemy, powered by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I'm your host, John Stolness. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. And coming up, we're going to talk about the Eagles free agency session. We're now in phase two, and the Eagles are still out there making moves. We're going to talk about everything they've done so far, and we're going to project forward to the April draft a little bit with Ed Kratz. He's with Fan Nation. He writes about the Eagles, has been for a long time. Of course, they're associated with SI.com, and we'll get his thoughts on everything Eagles from the last couple of weeks. See, what he sees is the lay of the land. Ed's always really good on this stuff, so make sure you stick around for that. That's what we're going to be doing here on this edition of Eye on the Enemy. But folks, I just also want to just remind you quickly, bleedinggreennation.com, where you can go to get updated on everything going on every single day. We got links up there. We got analysis. We've got our podcasts, also have articles up there, and that's where you can find all our podcasts too. We're also on the Bleeding Green Nation podcast feed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and check out Bleeding Green Nation's YouTube page as well. Lots of stuff going on there. So we are a cottage industry here, bringing you Eagles news and information during the course of this here fine offseason, as the Eagles have been very, very busy so far.
Well, it has been an interesting first couple of weeks of free agency. Of course, the Eagles very, very busy. And joining me to talk about some of the moves that the Eagles have made, and they continue to make here now that they're trying to fill in some of the gaps in the roster with some lesser-known players. And what will this mean for the draft next month? And a bunch of other stuff. We'll talk to Ed Kratz, reporter for Fan Nation Eagles Today. They're with SI.com. Ed's been covering the Eagles every day for a very long time. You can follow him on Twitter at Kratz. Ed, welcome back to Eye on the Enemy. How are you?
Hey, we're coming on the air here, John, with some breaking news. Maybe you heard, but Troy Vincent came out today and said that the tush push, the brotherly shove, will not be banned or limited in any way. And it's going to be all systems go once again for one of the Eagles' best plays.
Yeah, I saw that. I was going to ask you about that when we came on. I know that they said that they looked at it. They found out that the injuries are not what they would have any kind of concerns over, and that the Eagles just do it better than everybody else. So I think that's what we've been saying for the better part of the last 18 months as we've watched this play. Yeah. But it's good that Troy Vincent and the rest of the league finally is kind of caught up to that.
We'll see how good they do it without Jason Kelce kind of, you know, anchoring that tush push right in the center of the line. But I think they'll still be pretty good at it. I think Jalen Hurts and that 650-pound squat that he's able to pull off, I think that's a big reason why it's so good. But Kelce's going to leave a mark one way or the other, whether it's the tush push or anywhere else. I mean, that's a big loss for the Eagles. But
it is, and I want to get into that with you a little bit here too, because certainly I think they drafted Cam Jurgens with the idea that he would replace Kelce at one time, but you know, it's just those are the best laid plans. We'll see whether or not they come to fruition. But about the tush push, I was doing the BGN radio episode last week when I was on with Jimmy Kemsky, and I had the theory, the philosophy that I really feel like the Eagles losing streak at the end of the season may have helped keep the tush push in place. The fact that, you know, we were seeing it week in and week out, a 10-1 team, and they were doing the tush push like 3-4 times a game, and they're scoring like 2-3 touchdowns a game on it. It just seemed like, oh my gosh, this has to stop, and up, 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 up. And then all of a sudden you didn't see it at all over the last like 8 weeks of the season, because the Eagles just got into an offensive position where they couldn't use it. I mean, it just kind of proved the tush push is not the reason for the Eagles' success, nor is it the reason they were unsuccessful over the last 8 weeks of the season. It's a play. It's a quarterback sneak play. It just works really well almost all the time, but really quarterback sneaks work almost all the time without the tush push. So it just was such a big story, a big to-do about nothing. And I think it was unusual how often the Eagles got into situations where they could use it. But over the last 8 weeks of the season, we never saw it. And I think it was just kind of eye-opening. It's like, well, maybe this isn't the play that has made the Eagles one of the best teams in the NFL. Maybe it's just a play.
Yeah, and you know, Nick Sirianni kind of fed into that perception of, oh my gosh, the tush push is the reason the Eagles are 10-1 when he comes out and says, yeah, it's kind of like we're in a 1st and 9 every time we take over on a new set of downs. So, you know, he kind of fed into that, you know, that, I don't know, I don't want to call it a distraction, but I mean, you know, the play did get a lot of publicity and the players were asked about it. The coach was asked about it on and on. And they didn't use it a lot. And they used it against Arizona in that upset that they had against the Cardinals. And Jonathan Gannon, having been with the Eagles for 2 years, he seemed to find a way to stop it. The Cardinals stopped it. But, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting – you could dissect it as many ways as you like. It's just a quarterback sneak. Like you said, it's one play. It's not the reason they're successful or unsuccessful. It's just a play. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm glad it's sticking around because it is an advantage. The Eagles do it better than anyone else, and that is a good thing. And it really does, you know, come down to I don't think he's wrong when he says it is like they have a 1st and 9 every time. But, you know, again, it's not the end-all be-all. But you're right, it's going to stick around. That's a big story coming out this week. The tush push is here to stay. I do want to double back on your Jason Kelce thoughts before we talk about free agency, because the Eagles, of course, have the replacement in place in Cam Jurgens. At least he was drafted with that in mind. I know we saw in the preseason a couple seasons ago, you know, when he did get a chance to play in the preseason, Jurgens in his rookie season at center looked pretty good. He looked like he had some of that athleticism. There were a couple of plays that got tweeted out, and you can find them on Twitter, of him racing downfield and making blocks downfield in a similar way to Jason Kelce. Now, no one's ever going to probably be Jason Kelce again, and if there is another Jason Kelce, we won't see him for a very long time because he is a unicorn. But that being said, we are kind of, I think a lot of us are just kind of, you know, we know Kelce left, and I think we've been talking about it more from a personality standpoint and how cool he was and everything like that. But from on the field, how much do you think it is going to affect the offense next year? How much of a game changer is it going to be going to Cam Jurgens at center?
You know, I like it a little bit more than maybe I would have last year. And because Cam Jurgens did have a season really of NFL experience. You know, he did play at guard at a position. He had to learn how to do it. Wasn't as good as of a guard as you hope he's going to be at center. But listen, part of Kelce's success was calling the defenses out too. Him and Jalen Hurts did very well at diagnosing what defenses were doing to them and then setting the line calls. And really, you know, the cliche that he was another coach on the field was certainly true with Jason Kelce. He knew exactly what defense was coming at them pre-snap. And now, you know, that is Cam Jurgens going to be able to do that. He's a very smart kid by all standards. He played center for 4 years at Nebraska, you know, and he was in the meetings, you know, all the last couple of years. So I like it better that he's coming in with some experience. He's been in the on this team now for 3 years. That to me is an advantage for him. But, you know, how is he going to be at the point of attack? How is he going to be in pass protection? You know, there's some questions I have. And, you know, I hope that he can hold up, you know, in those scenarios, and you don't have to kind of double team with, you know, who's ever playing the other guard spot, maybe Tyler Steen or somebody else or Landon Dickerson. You hope that he can hold up and, you know, and do some good things there. And then there's the mental side of it, you know, trying to fill Jason Kelce's shoes. I mean, that's a big task. It's almost like when Mac Jones tried to take over for Tom Brady in New England. I mean, that's tough to do. So you have to overcome that mental part. You know, Kelce's not there. I'm sure he's a phone call away, or maybe he'll come to practices. I don't know what Jason's plans are for this season, but he's going to be, you know, nearby if Cam has any questions. So that again, I like that, but we'll see how he does physically with, you know, the holding up, you know, at the point of attack and in pass protection.
I know Jason Kelce said something along the lines of when Saquon Barkley came back, he's like, oh, maybe I wish I could come back. Do you think that, let's say Cam Jurgens is really struggling around midseason,
right?
Do you think Kelce would come back for a half a season to kind of, like, if the Eagles are in contention, but they have this hole in the middle of the offensive line, he's still hanging around the team, and it's only half a season. You get maybe, you know, you're playing, you know, the team is like truly, like, they look like a Super Bowl contender. Would he come back kind of like a midseason replacement, like we saw with, you know, Linval Joseph a couple of seasons ago?
Listen, after that epic speech he gave, that goodbye speech, that emotional, teary farewell, I hope not. I mean, that's how it goes out. And Kelsey doesn't strike me, John, as the kind of player that's going to kind of keep in shape.
Right.
Best of his ability. I mean, he might, you know, throw some weights around in his garage.
Yeah.
He doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to hit the weights hard, do the conditioning drills,
right,
you know, diligently to be in position when if a team were to call and say, hey, Jason, why don't you come back? You know, it's Halloween. And, you know, I just don't think 2 months is going to, you know, he's not going to do the stuff he needs to do to be ready to play. So I thought Fletcher Cox maybe had a shot, but you know, Fletch is pretty adamant that he's done. He's gone, but you know, that's February. You know,
it's
February, March talk. Who knows what Cox will feel in November, you know, October, November. But Kelsey, man, I hope he doesn't. And I just don't think he'll be ready to come back at that time of year. Cause I don't think he's going to be keeping in shape. I think Jason's going to find some other things to do to keep him busy.
Yeah, it was a wild hair. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to – I don't think – but, you know, just one of those things to pop up. We'll see.
Sure.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, so free agency, the Eagles have been very, very busy. They've made some big moves, obviously, and they've made some smaller moves around the edges. What is your favorite free agent signing so far?
That's a good question. I like the C.J. Gardner-Johnson signing. I think it just makes sense from a defensive standpoint. You know, they really missed him, I think, last year. The defense didn't have any playmakers per se. You know, they didn't have the same sack numbers, but him as a safety, you know, I think having those six interceptions that he had 2 years ago, the Eagles missed that. You know, they missed that ball hawk in the secondary. You know, Reed Blankenship was an undrafted free agent, first year starting. Sidney Brown's a rookie. They tried Justin Evans. He got hurt. You know, whatever they tried just didn't work. So I like bringing CJ back. I think he's a good piece in that secondary for Vic Fangio to use. And it just made sense. And I know he's been hurt. That's kind of a concern the last couple of years. You know, he had I think it was a spleen or a kidney that he ruptured in Philadelphia. He missed five games, still led the league in interceptions with six, despite missing five games. And then of course, last year, I think he played three games due to a torn pec muscle. So if you keep him healthy, I think he's a big boost for this defense and that back end, and someone that Reed Blankenship can learn from. You know, he's still a young kid himself, finding his way. Of course, Sidney Brown, same thing. So I think that probably, to me, I would put that at the top of the list of these, what, seven or eight free agents that they signed here in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would say too. Looking at two of the other big moves, Saquon Barkley and Bryce Huff, both of them incur some risk, right? I mean, you're spending big money on a running back that's getting up there, and with Bryce Huff, he's never been a starter. He's been mostly a pass rushing edge defender who comes in on third downs. He gets a high pressure rate, but really has done it at an elite level for just one season. With him, you're kind of hoping that you're paying for future performance, kind of like what they did with Javon Hargrave, and that worked out. Which of the two do you think is the bigger risk for the Eagles?
And even Josh Sweat was a kind of a projection type signing a few years ago. But bigger risk, I would always, you know, I would probably go with a running back. You know, Saquon, you know, a lot of mileage, obviously. 6 years, was it, I think, 6 years behind one of the worst offensive lines in the league.
Yeah.
And on the worst AstroTurf in the league at MetLife Stadium. Yeah. I'm surprised the guy's still playing after that kind of a wear and tear. But this guy just wants to be great. You know, he talked about studying the greats. Like, you know, your Barry Sanderses of the world. And he wants to play into his 30s. He's 27 years old. He's on a 3-year deal, really a 2-year deal, and then we'll see for that third year.
So I
would call him maybe the bigger risk just because of the wear and tear. Does he still have that same explosion? Are the Eagles going to use him in the passing game? They didn't use DeAndre Swift very well in the passing game. And now you have a new OC with Kellen Moore. Maybe he'll say to Jalen Hurts, hey, you know, let's dump the ball off to the running back here.
If you're not going to run it, use your running backs.
Just throw it out there. See what he can create. I mean, he's a playmaker. But to me, he's a little bit of a risk. But I like the risk. I like the Saquon Barkley addition. And I'm kind of prejudiced because I like Saquon as a person. I talked to him quite a bit when he was at Penn State. I covered the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis against Wisconsin, and just a great person all around. I know his high school football coach from Whitehall, who has nothing but good things to say about him. So I'm kind of prejudiced. I'm kind of rooting for him to be a good signing, and I think he will be, but it's a risk. And Huff, you know, Huff, listen, he's 25 years old. They're paying him on, kind of the evaluation that he's going to continue to ascend. I worry about him holding up in the run game, something he hasn't had to do with the Jets. But, you know, he's a big guy, 6'3", 255 pounds. I mean, he should be able to hold up in the run game and set the edge at the very least. But, again, you're paying him a lot of money. He's only had that one sack year, former undrafted free agent. Was that a fluke? Was that kind of just, an off year for him having 10 sacks? Is he more the 4 or 5 sack a year type of player that we saw in his first couple of years? You know, we're going to find out, but that's a risk. But I would put Barkley at the top, just because of the wear and tear that he has at 27 years old.
So looking at what the Eagles have done in free agency, do you think that's going to affect, and if so, how do you think it's going to affect what they do in the draft next month?
Well, I think they're trying to draft-proof themselves with the free agent moves that they made. I think they kind of try to do that every year. They try to fill, you know, some needs at the positions where they know they need guys. Wide receiver, we saw them sign Paris Campbell before we came on the air here. They already brought in Devontae Parker. You know, so you don't have to go out and reach for a wide receiver. They needed wide receivers. You know, they did that with the offensive line. They signed Matt Hennessy, the kid from Temple, who gives them kind of an interior offensive line presence. So they don't have to go out and get somebody too high in the draft there. They brought in the safety, they have Isaiah Rogers to play the slot. So, you know, trying to think of some of these free agent moves. I mean, they have a lot of guys at the edge. You wonder what's going to happen with Hassan Reddick here, with Bryce Huff coming in, Josh Sweat re-signing. You know, they bring in Zach Bond, who I like as a special teams player, and Devin White, I like what they did with Devin White. I mean, he seemed to say all the right things at his press conference, but linebackers at the position where they needed to kind of restock the cupboard. So they bring in Zach Bond, they bring in Devin White, they bring in Julian Aquara. They bring in some guys.
Tyler Hall, slot corner.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. You know, so you have a slot cornerback. You know, I'd love to see them bring Avante Maddox back, on a cheaper deal. Avante's market hasn't developed yet, so maybe they try to do that. But I think that's what they do in free agency is, it just kind of protects them from having to go into the draft and say, man, we really need this.
Yeah.
So then that's how they tend to reach and make mistakes. So I think they've done that. I can't think of any positions, maybe tight end. I know they brought back Albert O. Jack Stoll bolted for the New York Giants, but that could be a position they look at, kind of an under the radar type position that they look in at the draft. But right now, to me, what they've done, it leads me to think they're just going to take the best player available on the draft board. And we know what that usually means for them. Offensive line, right, where they probably could use some help. They lost Driscoll and Sua Opeta. Or defensive line, where maybe losing Cox, they're going to bring in a veteran guy. They did bring in P.J. Mustafa, kind of just a body, I think. Sam Mustafa, his brother, I think is a little better. But, you know, the Eagles had the worst of the Matthew brothers, too. Remember, Clay Matthews was with the Packers second. Everybody in Casey Matthews was with the Eagles trying hard to make tackles.
Right.
And even with the Phillies, they got the worst matchups.
Oh.
Yes.
Always get the worst brothers with the Phillies. They're renowned for that. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
No doubt.
The Eagles have taken up the torch. But they bring in P.J. Mustafa. Maybe he's a guy in the rotation or a practice squad guy. But maybe they go in the draft, they go a defensive tackle or maybe even another edge, depending on what happens with Hassan Reddick.
Ed, last one for you. You mentioned Hassan Reddick just a second ago. Obviously, they bring Bryce Huff aboard. They still have Josh Sweat. You want to get Nolan Smith some more playing time. Brandon Graham is coming back. And it sounds as though, it certainly looks as though by the fact that the Eagles are pushing back the roster bonus a little bit, that they are still trying to deal Hassan Reddick. Kind of would have thought a trade would have happened by now if it was going to happen. But it's interesting. He's still on the team. What are the chances that he is still an Eagle after the NFL draft is all said and done?
Yeah, you know, good question. April 1st, I think, is when they push that signing bonus back. So they really have 9 days here to hopefully renegotiate a new deal or to trade him. And I'm not sure what the trade market is. You know, I'm pretty sure they're not just going to give him away. I thought maybe if someone offered a third and some other parts, maybe like later round picks, maybe next year, that they would take that. But I think they want a second round pick. And at this point, I'm not sure who is going to give that. I mean, the Rams have been mentioned. The Colts have been mentioned. The Panthers, perhaps. They lost Brian Burns. But the odds of him being on this team after the draft, you say, or before the draft?
Just is he going to get traded? Because obviously I think a trade's going to happen before the draft so that the Eagles can utilize those draft picks.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
Or a draft night trade, you know?
He could be a draft night trade. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, it's not an easy thing to do to move a player of Hassan's talent. And, you know, you really want to make sure that it's a win-win for both teams. But I think, I think that he will not, I think he'll be traded draft night or before that. And he won't be an Eagle coming out of the draft. Mm-hmm. I think the Eagles will know that. And if he is, then they'll trade him for next year's draft, which is fine. You know, you know, the Eagles have two number two picks because they got that extra second from a trade with the Saints. So if it's got to be a trade for a draft pick next year, so be it. Howie would take it. But I think that he'll be off this team before April 25th when the first round of the draft starts.
Yeah, if somebody's willing to give you a second rounder in 2025 or a third rounder here in 2024, I know Howie thinks that there's a the market doesn't really value picks a year from now the same way they do this year's picks. And with his job security, he doesn't have to worry about, well, I might not be here for the 25 draft. So you could certainly see somebody make a 2025 second round offer and see Howie jump at that. So
it's a great point. Yeah, it's a great point. You're right. He has job security where, if you want to give me a 2025 pick, great. We'll just put it in our war chest and we'll approach that next year. But, you know, you still have the two picks in the second round. So you have three picks in the top 100 this year. It'd be nice to get a third round pick, right? To get that Kenny Pickett pick that they had to send to Pittsburgh. That's a lot of P's. Pick.
You did good, though. You navigated that well.
I think I pulled it off all right. So I think you'd like to maybe try to recoup that pick if you can and then get, you know, four picks in the top 100. But I, you know, and the Pickett move, we didn't even talk about that. I thought it was a good move. Gives him a cost effective quarterback. The price of veteran quarterbacks to back up another quarterback has gotten, you know, very expensive. And they're 1 year deal. So you're always chasing that next veteran backup. This gives him a guy that can come in for 2 years, sit, possibly play some games. And I think he can win some games. I don't think he was used real well in Pittsburgh. Matt Canada, the OC there, I don't think he did a good enough job playing to his strengths. And I like him. I like the talent. I liked him coming out of Pitt. So I like that move. But now it did cost them that third round pick, number 98. Mm-hmm. So they're out of the third round. So maybe they try to get something back like that with Reddick.
All right. Well, we'll see how it all shakes out here over these next couple of weeks. The Eagles certainly will not be quiet. Read all of Ed Kratz's excellent stuff over at Fan Nation Eagles today. Of course, they're with SI.com. Follow everything he's doing. You can get it all on his Twitter account at Kratz. Ed, thanks for coming back on Eye on the Enemy. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, John. My pleasure.
All right, everybody. That's going to do it for this edition of Eye on the Enemy. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time right here on this fine podcast, Eye on the Enemy.
PGN.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. questions including what are we missing when we work remotely, or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.